So what I want to talk to you about is obviously Laodicea. The great apostasy is happening in the church, and Laodicean is a threat. If you've dealt with Laodicean believers, you know what kind of threat I'm talking about. One of the things they're threatening you with is succumbing to their wokeness, succumbing to their denial, succumbing to their problems that they are enrapturing themselves in and becoming like the world. And like this says here, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. See, the Lord has rewards for all of us to staying faithful and dedicated to him. And you have rewards that are in heaven waiting for you. They're destined for you. And the thing about it is, if you succumb to the apostasy that's going on in the church, if you start opening the door to compromise, you will allow Laodicea the threat of taking your reward, of taking your crown that belongs to you that Jesus wants to give you. I don't know about you. I don't want anybody taking my crowns, anybody taking my spiritual money, so to speak. And that's what the threat of Laodicea. So let's before we talk about current events, about what's Laodicea doing, let's understand the foundation of Laodicea. It is the last days church. It's the era that will look like how the church will finish. The church doesn't finish in this wonderful triumph of ushering in Christianity and the kingdom. It ends in apostasy with a small remnant that hangs on to being faithful called the Philadelphia element. So you and I are living in the last days. We are living among the Laodiceans. They're here. Now, some of them are fake Christians, some of them are carnal Christians, some of them are worldly, some of them are Laodiceans. So you have to make sure you have the person in the right category. I'm not saying that all of Laodicea is lost. I would not say that. As you know, Jesus talked about how the church would go. The church would not be perfect. It would connotate the idea of wheat and tares growing up together in the same Christendom world. But when you look at the seven churches of the Revelation, you must put that rubric on it and understand that the messagings to the seven churches are also messages not only to unbelievers that need to get saved, but also to believers who need to overcome the issue in that church. Now, the good news is some people have woken up out of Laodicea. The COVID shutdowns woke them up, and they woke up and they said, look, I didn't know I was asleep, but now I'm awake. And other things like Israel are waking people up. But in general, Laodicea will be the last day's church.
And welcome to Understanding the Times. See, I think that little video sort of set the stage for a discussion I want to have with my guest here in just a moment or two. But I still want to further set the stage because I think one of the most frequent emails this ministry gets is, what happened to my church? And they go on with a description of things that have changed, caught them off guard, whether it became seeker, whether it became, we don't talk about Israel, we don't talk about current events, we don't talk about prophecy, we don't talk about even the threat of Islam. In other words, we make people feel good. And we're going to be known for what we agree on, and not what we disagree on. Along the way, music became a great divider in the church. And I think I had my wake-up call in the early 2000s when I looked at the National Association of Evangelical website, and I saw that the NAE that I had long supported, certainly in my youth, long supported, were advocating no nukes for America, global warming. This was the National Association of Evangelicals. And I realized things were in the process of changing all the way up to the most recently. And I'll refer to this a little bit later in our programming here. Paula White comparing Donald Trump to Jesus Christ. So, I mean, this is evangelical Christianity. This is parts of the church today. And I saw an outstanding video online with my guest, Pastor Brandon Holthaus. He was giving a message from Australia, and you can find that on YouTube. It would be probably from the month of February. Pastor Brandon Holthaus, welcome to Understanding the Times.
Hey, Jan, good to be with you again.
Give me your thought to what I just said, particularly about, you know, National Association of Evangelicals. That's just representative of the evangelical church today. That's sort of the headship of it. And we're talking about, hey, America can have no nukes. That's their new policy. You know, what does that have to do with people finding the gospel?
Yeah, you know, what's happening, Jim, is I call them hot button issues or dividing issues. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's issues that are on the Christian worldview. So a lot of times we're not talking about arguing over the deity of Christ or arguing over the Trinity. We're arguing over issues like abortion.
Yes.
And we already know what side we should be on. We're arguing over issues about transgenderism, gay marriage. And the new hot button issue, obviously, is Israel and people taking the wrong side on that. And so I think what God's doing, Jen, is he's doing a great revealing of Laodicea and trying to show the Philadelphia and Smyrna element that the church is not what you thought it was. It's made up of a lot of tares, obviously, among the wheat. And God's revealing it through hot button issues. And so whether it's the war in Iran that we could currently talk about, or you know, we're dealing with the Candace Owens, the Tucker Carlson's anti-Semitism, those dividing lines of Israel, gay marriage, abortion, whatever, is now revealing what the church of Laodicea is really about. And I think that's another sign of the times, obviously.
Well, you reference Tucker and Candace, and I do have a little clip I want to play, and we could talk about that further, clip number 4, if we could run this and come back and discuss it.
Many Christians are influenced by Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. These people are nut jobs, but Candace Owens has the number one... Candace Owens has the number one podcast in the world. Better pay attention to her. Here's what she said recently. Charlie Kirk was a time traveler, which is why he was called to find Candace and why the CIA was monitoring him from a young age. The deep state has access to time traveling technology that the Satanists stole from the ancient Sumerian civilization. Yeah, that's her latest. And the problem is Christians are so stupid, they follow that instead of the scriptures. Or how about Tucker? How about this? The Israeli government is paying Christian preachers where they stock up on talking points and propaganda and then inflict all that propaganda on their congregation and then use the Bible to justify it. That means me. So Tucker is saying any of these pro-Israel pastors that you come across, they're paid by the Zionist movement. I'm just a Zionist shill. I would like to know where my money's at because I've never received a dime from the Israeli government. In fact, it's the opposite. I'm giving the Israeli money. I don't understand why. They seem to not have any money. But look what it says. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Look what it says in the end. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up on themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears from the truth and what? Turn aside to fables. Turn aside to Tucker. Turn aside to Candace. Turn aside to all these talking heads. And that's the thing. I'm losing people in my own church that have ministered for years about Israel, about any of the topics. And they listen to one podcast from these nut jobs. And all of a sudden, they're off the chart. They don't believe. They're out of the church. They've got some inside track. That's Laodicea.
I want to talk about that for a minute, Brandon. You said in your own church, and apparently in your own church, I'm assuming these are people you knew, and all of a sudden, the hot button of Israel set them off. Explain.
Yeah, you know, and that's the disappointing part, Jan. I expect the Tucker Carlsons, I expect the Candace Owens, and I don't lose sleep over them.
Yeah,
I do lose sleep when I see my own people in my congregation that have been under my teaching for 4 and 5 years. And you know how I teach. I teach from a pro-Israel standpoint, a dispensational, you know, that God has a plan for Israel. And they have heard me ad infinitum. Talk about Israel, talk about the covenants. You know, I just got done teaching through Genesis, and I taught through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the covenant explanations, the land covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. And here are people in my own congregation that will listen to a Tucker Carlson or a Candace Owens and believe that the Jews are pulling the United States into foreign wars. The Jews control Donald Trump.
the Jews, the Mossad killed Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
The Mossad was involved with Jeffrey Epstein. He was a Mossad agent. And it, and the blood libels just keep going on and on and on. And to my surprise and to my disappointment, I've had people get caught up in that and say, why are we supporting Israel? And I'm leaving, and the Israel's behind everything. And it's like, Jan, they hadn't heard a word I said from the scriptures for the last 5 years. And again, I can only say that what I was saying was going in one in ear and then out the other, because they apparently never applied the scriptures and understood them, I guess.
Okay, but it is Israel that was the hot button issue.
Yes, it's Israel. And I think that's the thing that I think everyone needs to understand, is God is using Israel as a true north right now, theologically. And if you want to know where someone's at theologically, ask them where they're at on Israel. And Israel becomes a dividing line. And quite frankly, if you do not have a scriptural foundation to understand Israel, you will be taken away in these conspiracy theories, because that's all they are, is conspiracy theories. You know, the Jews are starving the Gazans, and the Jews are committing genocide, which is nonsense. Jan, I've been in the area of Gaza. I've been up there in the north in Hezbollah. I've been with the IDF. I've seen on the ground what is transpiring, and nothing could be further from the truth. The Israeli IDF is the most peaceful army you could ever see, because they don't want to hurt civilians. Yeah. And yet we get these anti-Semitic tropes. And again, what is the issue? It's the view of Israel. And that's what's dividing people.
Just a heads up, Olive Tree Ministries and Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church, are sort of in ministry together on the ground in Israel. And we both have special funds, raising funds for Israel. And we have folks on the ground all the time in Israel. So we're speaking from some knowledge or firsthand knowledge. And Brandon, by the way, find that info at rockharborchurch.net and at olivetreeviews.org. You can go to donations and see drop-down boxes if you'd like to give specifically for that. Here's my concern, Brandon Holthouse, and that is that there are at least a dozen denominations that are sanctioning Israel. And also, when we say this, of course, they would never deal with any end time issue, eschatology, rapture, second coming. World Council of Churches, all of them, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, some Reform, not all. And some within even Lutheran, you'll find a few pro-Israel, but very, very few. My point is, huge numbers of Christians in vast denominations are being either misled or falsely taught. And as you indicated, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, with a hostile intent against Israel and against eschatology, end times, lateness of the hour. Well, let's throw in current events there too. In other words, helping people understand the times and contend for the faith, never find it in, I would say, most churches. We get back to the Philadelphia church standing for truth.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing, Jan, is that going back to what I said originally, if you don't have a biblical foundation for Israel, it's going to affect your ecclesiology. It will definitely affect your eschatology, and it's going to affect how you view the current state of Israel and what's going on there and whether or not you believe lies. And so you're talking about the majority of Christendom that has basically replacement theology.
Yeah.
And if you look, Jan, who is behind a lot of the blood libels, unfortunately, are so-called Christians, I'll put those in air quotes, who have a form of replacement theology. Candace Owens is a Catholic. Well, Roman Catholicism carries replacement theology. Tucker Carlson is Episcopalian. That's replacement theology. And I can just continue to go down the list. And look, I've made this statement, and other theologians, I'm not a theologian, but other theologians have observed this in church history. Jan, wherever you see replacement theology, inevitably out of that root of theology grows anti-Semitism. And that's where you look at the Crusades, you look at the pogroms, you look at the Holocaust, you look at the Spanish Inquisition, and all behind that was targeting Jewish people, saying that they've been replaced, they're Christ killers, they reject, you know, they're rejected by God, and that they gave people the warrant to do awful things to the Jewish people. So this is where it stems from, unfortunately. It does stem from theology. And it doesn't shock me that the woke right that has this anti-Semitism has replacement theology in its idea, whether that's NAR, whether that's Catholicism, or whether that's just flat out all millennialism or postmillennialism.
I want to play one more clip here, Brandon Holthaus. Again, you can learn more at his website, rockharborchurch.net. You know, talk, because we're talking about a basic, general, overall lack of discernment and falling into completely false doctrine. And we've got, you know, the spiritual advisor to President Trump, Paula White, and I talk about her fairly often here on all of the programming. And she's comparing, in this little short clip, then I want your response, she's comparing the sufferings of Jesus to the sufferings of Donald Trump. And I think, again, I don't think she's doing this to be intentionally blasphemous, but it does come across that way, if we could play that.
And Mr. President, no one has paid the price like you have paid the price. It almost cost you your life. You were betrayed and arrested and falsely accused. It's a familiar pattern that our Lord and Savior showed us. But it didn't end there for him, and it didn't end there for you. God always had a plan. On the third day, he rose, he defeated evil, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because he rose, we all know that we can rise. And sir, because of his resurrection, you rose up. Because he was victorious, you were victorious. And I believe that the Lord said to tell you this, because of his victory, you will be victorious in all you put your hand to.
So that's a little scary, Brandon Holthaus. This is a spiritual advisor to President Trump, comparing his sufferings to that of Jesus. Sadly, his spiritual advisor can't be Jack Kibbs or yourself or, you know, Michelle Bachmann, my good friend. But give me your thoughts on what you just heard.
Well, that's the thing, is you shouldn't expect anything different from Paula White. I mean, I consider her a false teacher. Yeah. And anyway, she has very strong ties to NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, which, again, has theology in it. And therefore, what could she possibly spiritually advise Trump on as far as, you know, dealing with Israel or dealing with other spiritual issues? Because she's so fouled up spiritually, her advice is always going to be distorted advice, just like you heard there in that clip of linking him with the Messiah. Well, it doesn't shock me that she would say something like that, because in New Apostolic Reformation, okay, go beyond that. Then what do they view Israel? Well, they review Israel has been replaced and that they're building the kingdom and they're going to usher it in. And that's her mindset. And so in a lot of ways, you know, she's going to see Donald Trump as being able to usher in a lot of what the NAR wants, which is building a kingdom without the king, which is crazy to even think like that. But again, that's what false doctrine does. And so, you know, this is why I've been praying that people around Donald Trump would come aside him and give him a biblical view of the Middle East and a biblical view of Israel, because it does affect Trump's foreign policy.
Yes.
That has huge ramifications. And I'll give you an example. He's dealing with Qatar, which is another state-sponsored country of terrorism around the world. And I don't understand that.
Brandon, I want to read two paragraphs of something I wrote. It was in an e-newsletter. Folks, you can sign up for that at my website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to newsletters. And I want to read two short paragraphs and get Brandon Holthaus' response, because, again, it has to do with what happens when we leave really important issues out of the pulpit. And in this case, what I was writing about is we're leaving the rapture out of the pulpit. And I say this, when rapture discussion ended in the church some 30 years ago, so did the discussion of the millennium, Israel's key end time role, the trend towards the tribulation, the building of the third temple in Jerusalem, the prominence of the end time deception, the rush to a cashless society, and central bank digital currency, and so much more. And then I conclude, it became almost impossible to understand the times from a biblical and a prophetic perspective. And right at a time when people began asking earnest questions as they observed the turmoil of our times, the divorce of the rapture from the gospel has resulted in a near blackout of teaching about our blessed hope in churches today. This negatively impacts new believers as well as seasoned saints, as it leaves them ill-prepared to live in a fear-ridden society, because such teaching provides no prophetic context into which they can place the violence and lawlessness of our day or the push for a new world order. Their eyes remain focused on earthly aspirations only. This is my thoughts a year or two ago. Again, e-newsletter. You can sign up on my website. And I know, Brandon, this is a burden of yours too, is that, you know, the king is coming has become bad news. I mean, in some churches and denominations, again, we've got Philadelphia Church where they're right on solid teaching, but way too many, all these denominations are focused on earthly aspirations.
Absolutely. Your article hit the nail on the head. I was just with Brent Miller Jr., and I know you've had him on your program before, and he gave the stat on your program, and he reemphasized it to me the last time I saw him, was 98% of the pulpits are not preaching about the second coming. And okay, so we just got done with Easter, and the message I was preaching is why did Israel, you know, why did Israel's leaders and even the disciples not understand the first coming? Well, it's really pretty simple. It's the same mistake the church is making. The Israel continued to preach from their synagogues about the second coming, the, you know, vanquishing of Rome, the setting up of the kingdom, and Messiah, you know, redeeming Israel, and to the neglect of the first coming. And so when he's here, they're not understanding why he's not setting up the kingdom and getting rid of the Romans. Well, the church has made the same mistake. Because of Laodicea, because of seeker-friendly, purpose-driven, pietism, whatever you want to call it, we are now not talking about the second coming. We focus on the first coming to the neglect of the second coming, and yet we can't discern the signs of the times. So just like the first century, they couldn't discern the signs of the times because they were looking at the second coming, and now here we are looking forward to the second coming, and the churches are just teaching the first coming. So no wonder we're missing it. No wonder the majority of the church is not prepared.
Okay, let me ask you a direct question as a pastor. Some of our listeners today find themselves in one of these kinds of churches. They're just pretty frustrated. They've had, some of them had a wake-up call. I refer to this often. On Sunday, October 8th, 2023, when their church would say nothing about what happened on October 7th, the day before in Israel, the church pretended like it just nothing happened in Israel. All right, they find themselves in a church filled with Laodicea, representing Laodicea. What do they do? Do you recommend they go to leadership and see if they can change the stream of things, or do you recommend they just leave? And I think unpleasant option is to, you know, give up on church, though I hear from plenty of people who have.
Yeah, good point. Well, the first thing I think that any believer is obligated to do is you got to go to your pastor and ask him, hey, where are you at on Israel? How come we're not hearing you pray for Israel? These poor people have been slaughtered. They've been bombed. How come we're not even offering prayers for them? And you got to get to the root of it. What's the problem with the pastor? I mean, maybe his statement of faith says he's pro-Israel, but you really have to start asking these pastors these personal questions about Israel. And then I will say this, I have seen enough since October 7th of 2023, and now with the Iranian war and the bombings and that Israel has sustained from Iran and Hezbollah and all of its enemies, the Houthis, enough is enough. If a pastor is not going to say something by now, and you've confronted him, I think it's time to find another church, because this is only going to get worse, Jan. And why do I say that? Because you and I both know, and we've talked to plenty of Bible teachers, that global anti-Semitism will continue to ramp up. And because of that, we are going to have to be in churches that are pro-Israel. Otherwise, people are going to get caught up in this anti-Semitism and be part of the problem, like 80% of the churches were in Nazi Germany, who just continued to sing louder when the boxcars of Jews went past them going to Auschwitz. And that's the problem, is now if your church is not going to say anything, they're telling you where they're at. I think it's time to find a new church. Or if you can, start your own Bible study, start your own church. And we are walking people through that process, even with our church tracker. So now is the time to figure this out.
All right. You have on your church website, rockharborchurch.net, a church tracker. And I know you originally had, 1,500 churches on it. And these are ones you recommend. And you've had to whittle it down to, 200?
Yeah, just about 200. And one of the main issues that we did was, where are you at on Israel? And we, after October 7th, we kept getting calls from these people in these churches saying, the pastor's not saying anything about Israel. They're not even talking about it. And so we ended up taking a bunch off. I mean, going down to, from 1,500 to 400 and then eventually 200, because they wouldn't say anything about Israel. And my thing is, look, in this day and time, if you're not going to say anything about Israel, then you lack the boldness to be a remnant church. A Philadelphia church sticks to the scriptures. They have no problem drawing a line in the sand and saying, this is where I'm moving. And like Jesus said about John the Baptist, did you expect a reed blowing in the wind? Well, that's what these pastors are. They're just reeds blowing in the wind. I don't want them on my church tracker if you can't support Israel. So we removed them. And yeah, that upset a lot of people and upset a lot of pastors. But we just said, well, then how come you don't say anything? You're going to have to put some skin in the game here. I'm not saying you have to do what Jan and I are doing as far as, buying protective gear for Israeli troops in the IDF. But you can't offer a prayer for Israel? There's something wrong with you if you can't do that as a pastor.
Brandon, we are trying to do some real practical things on the ground in Israel, and you just gave a couple of illustrations of practicality, and give us a few more illustrations. By the way, we do this offering the love of Yeshua. I mean, we're not blatantly withholding the gospel.
Yes.
I mean, we see so many videos, advertisements of we need to provide food for our starving Israelis. They'll feed the stomach, but not the soul. And that bothers me greatly. But explain, take a minute to explain exactly what you and my ministry, Rock Harbor Olive Tree, are doing on the ground in Israel.
Yeah, we're the first thing is, obviously, we want to share the good news of Yeshua with them. But we have to build some bridges with them first because of so much damage Christians have done to them. And so what we have done is been able to open the door to the gospel by providing protective equipment for the IDF. We're talking about bulletproof vests. We're talking about helmets. We're talking about knee pads, boots, jackets. And now we've got into getting drones so that the Israeli troops can just fly the drones in there without sending in troops. And that protects a lot of lives. Now, here's where this goes. I'm using those things and you are using those things as springboards to be able to explain why are we doing this. And what happens is it opens them up to questions. They're like, why do you love us? And the whole world hates us. Why are you wanting to help us? Why are you here in Israel? And then we have a full-blown conversation. Well, it's because of Yeshua. And a lot of times we use the messianic believers in the troops to continue our witnessing to them. But Jen, when I'm over there, I talk to the Israeli troops. I'm having full-blown conversations about the last days, about Yeshua, about the plan for Israel, and it's opening them up like nothing ever has before to be able to talk about Yeshua and to talk about why he has instilled love in us and why he's their Messiah. So yeah, we're not doing a social gospel thing. We're doing these opening of doors with material blessings in order to have those spiritual conversations with them.
Wonderful. Thank you for clarifying that. The two ministries have been doing that. And we have two reps over there off and on anyway, Gene DeYoung, Joe Martin Rishi on the ground, as does Keith Newsom representing Rock Harbor Church. I want to just give a quick plug to the newest book, or one of Brandon's book that we are carrying in my online store, olivetreeviews.org. It's Eternal Crowns, Ruling and Reigning with Messiah. And the book is about our rewards. Brandon, give it 30 seconds. Tell us.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about what do we do while we're waiting for the Lord, it says to occupy. Well, that's when we're occupying, we're doing the ministry that we're supposed to be doing, and we're gaining rewards in that aspect as well. And so this is the time, in this troublesome times, where we actually are gaining rewards, and we're going to earn crowns and overcomer awards. And so I outlined all that in the book.
And Brandon, can we lose rewards?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, some people's works are going to be burned up. They built with the wrong materials, wood, hay, and stubble, and those works will be burned up. So yes, the unfortunate thing is there are some believers that are going to lose rewards. 1 John chapter 2, I think verse 28 says, many will be ashamed at his coming. And the shame is tied to him having no rewards to reward them for, because they did nothing with their Christian life. They got saved and pretty much did nothing. And so they will lose rewards, unfortunately.
As we close, I'm going back to church issues, because that's what I wanted to focus on. Again, I kind of opened with some people are writing me asking, what happened to my church? And the church growth movement came along, and we had purpose-driven, seeker-sensitive, postmodern, emergent some 20 years ago. And it seemed like the saving of souls was being set aside for entertainment. And of course, the key word here, social justice. So, and it seemed like the 11th commandment came into the church, thou shalt not offend, and let's talk about our best life now. And in the process of what I just outlined, the things that matter most, at least to you and me, the issues of Israel, eschatology, the rapture, the second coming, the literal millennium, my goodness, all of that was set aside for some of these other things, the postmodern, etc., and the 11th commandment, thou shalt not offend, and let's have our best life now. So again, I think this is all predicted. I think that we can't give up on the church, though some have. And I appreciate your perspective and your advice. And if a church is beyond hope, then we just have to leave. And finding another one, I can tell you, is one of the greatest challenges some of our viewers have. Some have looked for years, as you know, and that has caused your own church in Bakersfield, Rock Harbor, to kind of explode. Why don't you wind down and give me some final thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, well, the problem that the churches in Laodicea have is they're playing a game. If you recall, Laodicea is a very wealthy church,
yes.
And I hate to tell everybody this. This is the dirty little secret about churches in the West. They're playing a game for nickels and noses. Mm-hmm. They're playing a game for money. And why does the purpose-driven, seeker-friendly, non-confrontational messages work? Because it puts people in seats, and it generates a lot of money. And so some of the biggest churches in the world, in fact, the largest church in America, is nothing but seeker-friendly. And so it's a formula. It works. It was developed by Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, Peter Drucker, C. Peter Wagner. There is a method that it actually brings in people and money, which is exactly what Laodicea was about. And they were so blinded that their own evaluation of themselves, they couldn't see themselves spiritually. And Christ had to dress them down and say, you're blind, you're naked, you're wretched, you're poor. You don't even need to see your own spiritual condition. That's the modern state of the church. But I hate to tell everybody, what is this about? Unfortunately, the majority of it's about nickels and noses. It's about money. That's what it's about. And that's why they don't say anything about Israel. That's why they don't say anything about gay marriage or abortion or anything like that, because that is in the realm of, we don't talk about those things because that upsets people. And so they cherry pick their way through scripture and they choose the passages that won't offend anybody. And it's through the hermeneutic of love, 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 rather than holiness. And by the way, it sells. It's a good marketing technique, but it's not Christianity. It's not biblical Christianity. It is a perversion of it.
Would you agree that it's therefore leading to the one world church of the tribulation?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you think about, you know, what gospel message do they have? Well, they're soft peddling it like this, that Jesus is not a lifesaver that saves you from your sins and saves you from hell. And that he's the Messiah, you know, that's come to redeem you. They're selling Jesus as he's a life enhancer,
okay,
that he is an addendum you put on your life, and he makes your life go smooth, and he becomes a genie in a magic bottle, and he becomes your cosmic butler. That's not the real Jesus. And unfortunately, there's no true conversions coming from that. These people claim to be Christian. And look at the stats. 80% of Americans say they're Christians. I doubt that. And what's happening is it's causing people to have a false version of Christ, a false version of God and Christianity. And you're absolutely right. These types of individuals are going to sell out for anything the government tells them to do. And I already saw it happen back in 2020. When they sold out and did exactly what the government told them to do. So you're absolutely right. It is setting up the church that will be left, the false church, after the rapture to make up the whore of Babylon and that one world religion.
Learn more at rockharborchurch.net. Again, he's got a church tracker there if you can perhaps sign on to, I believe it's under resources, and check out some churches that he does recommend. Brandon, thank you for sharing with me this afternoon. I just want to close with a little item. It's a paragraph that I've written, and I hope we can kind of take it to heart. Christ died for the church, and we can't give up on it. A heavenly, endless church service awaits us in eternity with a celestial choir and orchestra. The preaching will also be out of this world. We'll all be one denomination. The bickering will be over. We won't insist on our own way. We'll be finally in one accord. So I'm looking forward to that time, and I hope you are too. Thanks again for joining me today. And Brandon, thank
you so much.
Amen
to that.
All right. God bless.
You betcha. Always a pleasure, Jan. God bless you.